In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking at Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the 15th chapter, the 36th verse. "Some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." We see that St. Paul is very, very aware that when he's not there, that other things can happen. As in Galatia, they said you've got to be circumcised. So he wants to go to all the places that he preached and strengthen their faith. That's what he wants to do, and make sure they're on the right road. So many times, you know, people get all messed up. We're doing the same thing. I'm telling you about the Course in Miracles. People telling me I'm a Christian and I'm reading the Course in Miracles. That is witchcraft. You know, you need someone to tell you witchcraft. How do you know that he doesn't or she doesn't mention the cross of Jesus Christ or the blood of Jesus Christ? She mentions Christ, but not the blood and not the cross. And so what happens? And Barnabas determined to take with them, to these communities, John Mark. But Paul thought that was not a good idea to take John Mark with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia. He departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So what's his name? John Mark has done something that Paul cannot forgive at this point. And he's not going to be coming with us because he departed from us when we from Pamphylia. He left and did something else. And I'm not going to take him with me. I don't want him with me, St. Paul said. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took John Mark and sailed to Cyprus. To tell you that Paul was a hard man to shave, you know what I'm saying? He is not going to put up with any weakness. He knows that we are weak, but when it comes to the gospel and to preach the gospel, he knows that he's not going to take anyone that shirks their responsibility, and that's exactly what John Mark did. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. He just make sure that they're on the right track. Make sure that they're preaching Jesus Christ. Make sure that they're preaching the cross. Make sure that they're preaching his burial and resurrection. Chapter 16. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. This is Timothy. The son of a certain woman who was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. So we see Timothy now is going to join them at this point, which was well reported of all by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. So let's see what happens. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised Timothy, because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. So they circumcised him to make sure that the Jews would see that he was a Jew. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees to keep and were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. So they ordained people. They ordained people who were the elders who would keep the community straight in the service of the Lord. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in daily number. I'm telling you, we preach Christ and we preach him crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. That's what needs to be preached. And Paul would be very, very upset with many churches that they never mention the name of Jesus and they never preach the cross. I tell you, You know, people say, well, the cross is, it's bloody. Amen, it's bloody. You're talking about without blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus shed his blood for us so that we would be here with him on earth and in heaven. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees to keep. In other words, they preached the gospel that were ordained of the apostles, that came from the apostles and elders which were in Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. You see, the Holy Spirit told them, you can't go to Asia. You're not going to go to Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. You're not going to go to Bithynia. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now, Paul has a vision in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. That's Philippi, the letter to the Philippians, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. So this experience of a vision during the night told Paul what to do, because the man of Macedonia said, come to us. We need you. And so he left and went to them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and then thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of the Macedonia. We see that, again, he listened to the voice of the man in the dream. We need you in Macedonia. And we see that Philippi is the chief city of the part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside. What do you think they did by the riverside? There we prayed, and we sat down and spoke with some women, and a certain woman named Lydia, the seller of purple goods from the city of Thyatira, was one who worshipped God. She heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. So this Lydia becomes a believer. I love this Lydia. You know why? She's the one that says to Paul, you know, if you really believe that we've given our lives to Jesus, you've got to stay with me for a while. She prevails over Paul. Not many people prevail over Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And that's something. She constrained us. In other words, you know, she had a hook in the mouth of Paul and Silas. And she constrained us that they stay with her and that they continue to teach and preach the gospel, and I'm sure to do miracles. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much money from her soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. So she's prophesying, and she irritates St. Paul. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. Paul didn't need any PR work from the devil, even though the devil was saying something that was true. that this man preaches the things of God. Paul was very, very upset with the woman. She followed them day and night, and he cast out the demon out of the woman. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And he brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." In other words, this lady that had a demon made the man a lot of money. Now the lady doesn't have the demon. She's not making the man any money. And now Paul and Silas are brought into the city because they're saying they trouble our city and teach customs which are far from the law for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them in prison. So now Paul and Silas are in prison. Now what do you do when you're in prison? You can cry in your beer and say, "Poor us, we don't deserve this. We didn't do anything to deserve this." That's not what Paul and Silas do. Charging the jailer to keep them safe, who have received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. They put their feet in chains. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. So you see, Paul and Silas, how do they deal with persecution? They sing and they praise God. That's a lesson for all of us. How do we deal with persecution? Hallelujah. Jesus, I love you. You are the Lord. We praise you. We are praying in the Spirit. Us singing, "He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord." You see, Paul and Silas dealt with persecution by singing praises unto the Lord at midnight. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing that the prison doors were open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Don't harm yourself, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So this is the jailer. Oh, yes, it's going to be conversion. The jailer says, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, you and your household." That's something. Oh, many people are taking that for themselves, that Jesus wants to save not only them, but their household. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his household. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God, and believing in God with all his household. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart from us and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "You're not going to do this to me." Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans. I am a Roman citizen, and they had no right to beat me. And they have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. You have no right to whip a Roman. You have no right. Paul was a Roman citizen. He was born a Roman citizen. And what do you think Paul's going to do? Say, you know what? You want to get rid of us easily, but I want to bring my case all the way to Caesar, because you whipped a Roman citizen 39 times. Well, they didn't know Paul was a Roman citizen. You don't have to know it. Paul was a Roman citizen, and he wants to bring his case all the way up to Rome and to Caesar. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned. Being Romans, they have cast us in prison. Now do they thrust us out? No, but they let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words to the magistrates, and the magistrates feared when they heard that Paul and the rest were Roman citizens. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart from the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. We see that Paul is constantly going back to the people that he evangelized, because he knows that when the shepherd is not there, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So Paul wants to make sure that the people that he brought the gospel to will be faithful to the gospel and faithful to Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul does. And he is that kind of a man. He traveled from place to place, but then he goes back to the places that he spoke the gospel to make sure they're on the right track. It's easy to get off the track, you know. It's easy to get off the track, to become possessed by other gospels. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what the Jehovah Witnesses are, and that's exactly what the Mormons are. Another gospel. It is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's another gospel. And these things, you know, are not very good. God wants us to stay on track with Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, who is our Savior, who is our Redeemer, who is our Sanctifier. I'm telling you, Jesus is what Paul will continue to preach to these people, making sure they don't go astray. Now, when they had passed, chapter 17, passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There was a synagogue of the Jews. Remember that Paul said that the gospel is first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. So there was a synagogue there, and Paul, as his manner was, went into the synagogue and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scripture. So he reasoned with the people in the synagogue for three Sabbaths out of the scripture. What do you think he's going to be using? Like a lamb led to the slaughterhouse, like a sheep before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. You see, he going to preach Jesus Christ in that synagogue, openly and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and be raised from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is the Messiah. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of chief women agreed. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took them out of certain places and gathered them a company, and set all the city to an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out of the people. In other words, you know, we're gonna persecute these people. We don't like what they're saying. They're saying that Jesus is the Messiah. They're saying that Jesus died upon the cross. The Bible says, cursed is the man who dies upon the tree. And they're saying Jesus is the Messiah, and that he rose from the dead. He not only died on the cross and was buried, but he rose from the dead. So they want to do away with Paul. They want to do away with Silas. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are coming here also, whom Jason hath received, and these do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one. And they troubled the people with the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So see, Paul never learns. Paul never learns. He's going to the Jew first in the synagogue at Berea. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word and the readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And you know what? Paul made converts in Berea. This is someone whose heart is burning to make converts and make sure that the converts stay on the road of the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul had a passion to preach the gospel. He said, I am constrained to preach the gospel. I must preach the gospel. I have that same experience. I am constrained to preach Jesus. I must preach Jesus. No matter what happens in my life, up, down, sideways, or roundabout, I'm telling you, in season and out of season, I have to preach Jesus. I am constrained to preach Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? This is something that God has put in Paul, and God has put in me and other people. There is a passion to preach the Lord, even when I don't want to do it. Even when I don't want to do it. Oh yes, I've preached to Jehovah Witnesses when I didn't want to do it. And you know what? Oh, there was a manifestation of God. They didn't give their life to Jesus, but there was a manifestation of God in the midst of us as I prayed. And you know, they must have been young Jehovah Witnesses, because they didn't ask me to pray. I told them I was going to pray. And I prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of his cross that these people would know the truth of Jesus, you see. Paul was constrained. I want to say it again. He was constrained to preach the gospel, and he was going to make sure that all the converts that he made were on the right track. Therefore, many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and men were not a few. And there were many men and women in Berea that believed in the Lord Jesus. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came also and stirred up the people. You see, there's always going to be a counterattack. When you do the things of God, what's going to happen? There's going to be a counterattack. That's just the way it is. And you know what? The people of Thessalonica came to Berea and stirred the people up. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it was to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. So Paul goes to the sea, and Silas and Timothy stay there in Berea. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Tomorrow we'll look at Paul at Athens. It's very interesting. This is one of the interesting things when Paul makes a big mistake. Imagine Paul, the one who was constrained to preach the gospel, makes a big mistake. I'm not going to talk about that today, but I just want to mention it. Paul in Athens, you might read it yourself and see what the mistake was. It's the 17th chapter of Acts of the Apostles, verse 16. Paul makes a big mistake. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. We see Paul had a passion to preach the word, that he was constrained to preach the word, that he was the one who converted the jailer and the jailer's household, but that he's not going to be whipped by anybody because he is a Roman citizen. He wants to bring his case to Caesar. You see, Paul could have been released from prison, but he, when he gets to prison, says, I want to go all the way to Rome and witness to Caesar, you know. That's gall, I'm going to tell you. That takes a lot of gumption. That takes a lot of faith to do that, because you know what they're going to do in Rome? They're going to block their ears and they're going to kill Paul. Oh yes, they're going to kill him. They're going to try to keep his mouth quiet. Try to keep his mouth quiet. And you know how they do that? They chop off his head. But I can hear that head going down the street saying, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the merciful one. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Paul preached Jesus Christ to all the people. Please help me to pay April's bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I do not take 1 cent that is sent to me. I do not take 1 cent. It's all for the proclamation of the gospel. So if you are in trouble today, like Paul and Silas were in jail, what you need to do is you start singing, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent power of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. So please help me. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.